بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، إن شاء الله in this period we'll be doing briefly مذاكرة of the sunnah of Hazrat Nabi Akram صلى الله عليه وسلم, which is extremely important, and that is the beautiful way of life Allah has given us to live in this world and to get our success both in this world and in the year after. So we'll be revising the sunnah of Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم, 1-2 sunnah every day. And this is to give us encouragement that when we go home also we should have ta'aleem of the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and be conscious what type of life we are living. Today unfortunately the ummah is living the life of the kuffar and then we expect to get honor and respect. It's impossible that Allah will give us honor and dignity. It only lies in the way of life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then we'll just explain briefly 1-2 poems that we read while we're making the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we understand that these poems are not just for entertainment, just not reading it. That, and many people make zikr, you say, we like that zikr how you make. But they actually think they like the poems. But actually those poems are great, great du'as that we are begging Allah what we need when we're making our zikr. And that is to enhance our concentration and devotion in the zikr. Then after that, very important, we'll be doing the Kitab Anwarus Salah, which has been done years and years. But as we do it, we'll realize we're still zero when it comes to our Salah. And myself, not zero, we might am minus when it comes to Salah. So inshallah, we'll be doing this. And the very important, try and attend, try and listen attentively. Make dua that Allah give us tawfiq to listen attentively, to try and retain it. And keep it in our mind and let it go into our heart and then practice upon it. And then when we practice, we won't help that we want to tell others and give them also the beautiful, great gifts that Allah has given us. So with regard to the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are discussing the sunnah of wuzu. And in wuzu, there are 18 sunnah. And these are not difficult. Generally, most of us, we are doing it. But we have to be conscious, I'm doing it not just because I'm doing wuzu, this is the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if you do it consciously, every action you do, you'll be getting just to bring alive the sunnah 100 shaheed sawab. The reward of the sunnah itself, we can't imagine, it's very, very great. So just to bring alive a sunnah, especially in this time and age, which is called fitna and fasad, the value of deen has gone out of our lives, out of our heart. So just to bring alive one sunnah, 100 shaheed sawab. So we should be conscious, and this is what is called istizar, to be focused and conscious. And that is why Allah brought us here, in the company of the man of Allah, that our minds are distracted all over. They'll bring our mind attention to the right direction to Allah Ta'ala. So with regard to the sunnah of wuzu, we already discussed few sunnahs, and then we came to the point where a person should wash each lump 3 times. And every part of the body we have to wash in wuzu 3 times. And washing actually doesn't just mean to put water and let water splash over your hands or face. You have to rub it. Rub your face. Even in fact, you just take little water in your hand and you rub it on your face and see from the top of the head till the bottom of the chin and on the side of the ears, behind the ears, you rub it properly and 3 times. And many people, because we're not focused also, we're not stopping making wuzu. We washed it 3 times and I think I still didn't wash properly. And you carry on washing 4 or 5 times. That is what is called wulu, extravagance. That is also not required in our deen. So we should try and do this properly. And here, as we say, just to give us the encouragement that I must learn the sunnahs of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The atmosphere in my house must be sunnahs of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Unfortunately, we're living in a time where atmosphere in our house is everything besides sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then the next sunnah is khilal of the beard. That is people who got full beard. And one is, even you don't have a full beard, you wash your face, you must rub your beard. Even if you got a full beard, you rub it. But when you got a full beard, after you wash your face 3 times, then you take water in your hand and under your chin, you throw water into your beard and then you push your fingers into your beard, khilal. And when you do that, you say, Hakaza amarani rabbi. This is how my Allah has commanded me to do. So our deen is complete and perfect, and we should try, and that is why we came to learn here, that what is success in life and enjoyment of life, when we come to understand deen, and we just start bringing one aspect of deen in our life, then we'll be shocked. I didn't know what this was enjoyment. We're looking for enjoyment everywhere else. Allah give us tawfiq. So then with regard to the ash'ar, the poems that we read while making zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, normally after every 10 times or so, certain poems are written, and these were from the hearts of our pious elders when they used to make zikr, and naturally this used to come out from the bottom of the heart. We discussed this poem already. When you're making zikr of La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, and from the bottom of the heart it will come out. Ilahi ata wa zarra dardi dil, ki martai be dardi mar tera, koi tujhse kuch, koi kuch chahta hai, main tujhse hu ya rab talabgar tera. Ilahi, O my beloved Allah, the one who knows all my needs, I am dying with pain of everything else. I got depression, I got just worry. Give me a drop of that pain of the heart. And what is the pain of the heart? A drop of the love of Allah Ta'ala. When you got the pain of the heart, the drop of the love of Allah, that is such a pain that will take out all the other pains from your heart. Your depression will disappear, your worry for everything else will disappear. Today, the poet is saying, and you see yourself, you're saying, Ke martai bedar bimar tera. I'm dying, and all the worries of this world, like I'm a man that's dying. But give me that pain that will take away all these other pains of mine. The pain of dunya will go out, and the pain of the love of Allah Ta'ala will come in the heart. So that is why we're making zikr. And what is it? Koi tujhse kuch, koi kuch chahta hai, main tujhse hu ya rab talabgar tera. Everybody is asking something from you. And we are asking all trivial things of this world. Oh Allah, I need that car. Allah, I need that business. I need that house. So everybody is asking, koi tujhse kuch, koi kuch chahta hai. Everybody is asking something from you. Main tujhse hu ya rab talabgar tera. I am asking that I want you, oh Allah. If Allah is yours, the whole world is ours. So this is what when you say, La ilaha illallah, only Allah must come in the heart. So Allah Ta'ala give us this reality and realize that we have come here for a special purpose, and this is the system of Allah. To get connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way is to get connected to the man of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah has brought us here, we haven't come on our own. Allah's kindness, Allah has put it in our heart. Allah made the arrangements for us to come. So we should come and take maximum benefit. And then we'll see after that we won't want to stop coming in the company of the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then thirdly, with regard to Anwarus Salah. This is a kitab that was written. This is a period that we will be doing now, which is very, very important to explain us what is this great gift of Salah and how this Allah has given us to connect with Allah Ta'ala. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa amma ba'd faqad qala Allah Ta'ala fil Quran al-Majid wal Furqan al-Hamid a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim bismillahir rahmanir rahim qad aflaha al-mu'minun alladhina hum fi salatihim khashi'un sadaqallahu al-aliyyul azim. Alhamdulillah, we started this kitab already from the beginning of Ramadan Sharif, and we have finished two sabaks already. But that is from the beginning of the kitab, and many, many important aspects have been discussed. So just for the benefit of myself and all the brothers that have come here, very briefly we'll try and give a summary of what we did till now. And this is firstly to understand that Salah is a very, very, very great gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not something that really it's a duty. It is our duty. But in reality, it is a very, very special royal gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That this is such a royal gift that all the other creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah has just given them one aspect of salah. Just one part of salah. All the other creation, they involved, all are involved. وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ كُلٌّ قَدْ عَلِمَ صَلَاتَهُ وَتَسْبِيحًا. Every creation know their form of salah, and they engage in the praises of Allah. So Allah doesn't really need us. But after Allah giving all the creation one part of salah, for example, the trees, the buildings, they are only in the standing posture. All time, they're only in qiyam. Then the animals, and we find the animals and the birds, etc., they bowing down. So all the time, they're only in ruku. All the time they engage in that posture, all the time in ruku. Then you get reptiles and the insects, etc. on the ground. They are flat, they are in sajda all the time. All the time they in sajda. And then Allahu Akbar. Then the malaika, they engage in the du'as, they engage in tilawat of Qur'an-i Kareem, they engage in the tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, that the sky is actually crackling. Like how something, if you put something heavy on a wooden floor, how you feel, you hear that sound like it's going to crack. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and rightfully, the sky will be cracking. Why? Because there isn't four finger space where there isn't an angel making sajda to Allah Ta'ala in the skies. So Allah is not in need of us. But after all that, Allah has given the whole creation one portion. And Allah Ta'ala has made Hazrat Insan, this human being. Allah chose me and you to be a human being. Who is this human being? The royal, special slave of Allah Ta'ala. We are the royal slaves of Allah. We are the special from all the creation. Allah made us the most special of all. And Allah made us His Khalifa, His Vicegerent. And how to be the Khalifa, how to be the representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala gave us this very, very, very honorable gift, and that is Salah. Salah after Iman, the greatest gift that we get all the time connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we realize who we are. We are the honorable slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Compared to all the other creation, we are the best of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah ta'ala has given us. So salah, a person when you realize this, then the most important thing you realize, that salah is not just a burden. It's no burden at all. But it's not just a duty. It's not just a responsibility. It is a duty and responsibility. But it is actually a very, very special gift that Allah has given us, a royal invitation. And that you getting a royal appointment. Personally, Allah is calling you that now you got a royal appointment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So first of all, we have learned how to realize what is the importance of salah. Today, unfortunately, we don't realize the importance of salah. So we just take it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that time is going to come that people will perform salah as if we're doing a favor to Allah. It's not a favor. Allah is doing us a favor. That Allah is giving you an invitation in the court of Allah. You have to get just one invitation, one honorary counselor, one minister, to get the appointment for the door, specialist or something. Lot of red tape. And lot of, you can't get through, and you say, after three, and even if you get an appointment, what can they really do to you? They can't do anything for us. You go there, you thought I got a royal appointment, and you said he promises, but a politician's promise is lies. We know that, and still we'll go to them. Allah Ta'ala's promise is not bullion, it's absolutely true. But we don't understand, we don't realize that where Allah, that is why Allah Ta'ala says, that understand, when I'm calling you for salah, this is that great gift. And first of all, to understand how important the salah is. One is, alhamdulillah, the kitabs are written like Fazail-e-Amal. We should yet also, we have to read regularly in our house. Every day we should have ta'aleem. Then that house will become a house where the beauty of deen will be spreading from that house. And all peace and comfort. Today, sadly, Allah has given us homes and families to love litaskunu ilayha, to have peace and comfort in the house. But as our Shaykh explained, there's no vacuum in this world. If light goes away, darkness will come. So if sunnahs go out of our lives, then bid'at and all the terrible ways of life. So like that, if all the good things, like if shaitan made an effort, good things went out of our lives, all the evil came in. So now to reverse it, we don't have to make a big effort, just start doing the right things again. Bring fazaili amal, make ta'aleem in the house, ta'aleem of the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and other aspects as we'll explain here, that when we realize that the importance of namaz comes in the heart, then a person will realize, what a great gift this is, and how important and what a ni'mat this is, that every other command of Allah Ta'ala, Allah sent Jibreel alayhi salam to the earth, and Jibreel alayhi salam came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and informed him even about Iman. But when it came to Salah,
Allah Ta'ala sent a direct invitation with Jibreel alayhi salam, go bring my beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and bring him directly to my court, right to the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that whole process, we're not going into the detail now, there's no real time, this is just to make us understand what a great gift this is. When a person doesn't realize he's got a great gift, a great treasure, then he doesn't benefit himself, he won't let others benefit. If we just come to know what a great gift this is, that Allah Ta'ala has called His most beloved, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and what a process. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to go to Kaaba Sharif, heart transplant had to be taken place, because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going for what a journey, not just to the skies that people say we went to the moon, etc., whether they are talking the truth or lies, Allah knows. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going far beyond that, right to the arsh of Allah Ta'ala. So the heart transplant took place. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's heart was washed. Noor was put in that heart. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Baytul Maqdis. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa sallam there. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahu Akbar, made imamat of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa sallam. Then Allah Ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taken right to the arsh of Allah. And that point, فَكَانَ قَابَ قَوْسَيْنِ أَوْ أَدْنَى. And when just about a hand span, two hand span away from the arsh of Allah Ta'ala, then Jibreel alayhi salam told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, beyond this point, you have to go yourself. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh Jibreel, I'm a strange man here. You my guide, you brought me right through. I don't know how to go beyond. Jibreel alayhi salam said, oh Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, beyond this point, even if I have to go one hair's breadth beyond this point, I'll burn down to ashes. Allah's nur is so strong, so great, so magnificent. Allah has only allowed you to come to that point. So who has gone? Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met Allah Ta'ala, the beloved meets his beloved, and the lover meets his beloved. What a meeting that was. And then after all that very, very great meeting, Allah Ta'ala presented the crux of Miraj, that everybody wants to be close to Allah. Allah gave the gift of Salah to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So how important this is. And Allah gave the gift of 50 Salah. Then when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was coming down, Hazrat Musa Alayhi Wasallam told Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, my ummah couldn't manage 2 Salah. How is your ummah going to manage? Going to ask for a reduction. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, speaker for the ummah. Allah Ta'ala reduced it till it came, reduced it by 5, till it came to 5 salat only. Then Nabi Hazrat Musa alayhi wa sallam said, go and ask for more reduction. He said, I feel shy that Allah will just now take away the whole package. So our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is concerned. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَن تَجِرَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَحْوِيلًا وَلَن تَجِرَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَبْدِيلًا. And ma yubaddilul qawl, and Allah's word doesn't change. Allah gave you reduction from 50 to 5, but for each salah you perform, you'll get the reward as if you're performing 10 salah. So what a great gift this is, and this is a royal gift that Allah Ta'ala has given us. And who bro, one is somebody brings you a gift, and you appreciate it, you get very happy. But if a special person brought that gift, how happy you got. This is a special gift brought by the greatest and most beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and presented to the ummah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What appreciation myself, all of us just think, even if we are performing salah, when we come to understand just a brief ABC of salah, we realize I'm showing no appreciation to my salah. Because the more I perform salah, the more I come to realize what is the reality of salah, then I'll realize that I can never ever make salah the way Allah wants me to make salah. When this was the condition of Hazrat Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after performing salah, the greatest personality, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the greatest teacher, and the greatest student, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught him salah, then he asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and from this also we understand, salah, we have to learn how to perform salah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. That word, perform salah, how you saw me performing salah. In today's time, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not here. But the silsila, the chain is there. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught the sahaba, sahaba taught the tabi'in, the tabi'in. And till today, we got those pious the friends of Allah Ta'ala, like our Shaykh and the Ulama'i Rabbaniyin, the Mashayikh, which we call, those Arifin who got the love of Allah, they learn from their Shaykh. They learn from their Shaykh, and it goes on. So we have to learn what they chain. Then we'll understand what Salah is all about. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and at the end of his Salah, what concentration, devotion we can't imagine. But in the end, he asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what dua should I read? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught him the dua, Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi zulman kaseera. Oh Allah, I've caused the greatest oppression to myself. And from this we understand what was the thought of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam thought there's no question, it's only what Allah Ta'ala. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu's sahbat, when he got the company of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then what connection he got with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we can't imagine. The whole world, Allahu Akbar, on one side of the scale, and one Allahu Akbar of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala will outweigh the whole world's Allahu Akbar. That connection he had. So there was no question that that salah was like mine. That we come here and our salah is, our Shaykh explained, that like, for example, you are going to do some work and your wife said, I need something, a town, take me also. So you say, I'm busy, I have to go to the bank here, there. You say, okay, you busy, but just drop me by that shop and you go to the bank and come back and you can do your work and come back. So you say, okay. So like that, we come in the masjid, we leave our body here. And our ruh, our reality is roaming all over the world. So we're not even in salah. We don't even know when the imam started, when the imam ended. So that is our salah. So how much of zulam are we causing on ourselves? But Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, there's no question of zulam. What is the zulam here? That, oh Allah, you are so magnificent. You are so great. You are that mighty king, the kings of all kings. And you allowed me to come in your court. And I didn't show due respect the way I supposed to behave in a royal court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which you will mention just now with regard to that, the adabs and etiquette. So then, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught in Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu does dua. In other words, when Allah gives you the opportunity and you start coming to know how important salah is, what a magnificent gift. And if you think, no, I'm very busy in my business or I'm doing a big deal, Allah Ta'ala has to put a special announcer, the muazzineen. They are the announcers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they are announcing, hayya ala salah, come to salah. You think, hey, I'm still busy, let me finish this deal, let me finish this appointment. Allah immediately after them tells them, make them realize, we're not calling them to take them away from their important work. We're calling them, hayya ala al-falah, for their success. Imam Fakhruddin Razi rahmatullahi alayhi, a great mufassir of the Qur'an-i Kareem, is mentioned in his tafsir that the word falah is such a word in Arabic that no other language and no other word has got such an encompassing word. That falah means every type of success you're looking for. Whether it's your success of dunya, whether it's your success of deen, whether it's your success in your health, in your wealth, in your emotions, every aspect of success is encompassed in the word falah. So Allah is saying, hayya alal falah. I'm calling you to your success. You think your success is in that deal? It's not in that deal. You think your success is in that appointment of the doctor? Even if you dare the doctor's surgery and it's time for salah, tell him, please give him permission. I first have to perform my salah. And you don't even really have to ask him permission. You say, I'll come, even if you have to wait in the queue after that. To go to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a royal invitation from Allah. Where do we get royal invites? And when you get some important invitation from the counselor, minister, then you are too worried. Now what is the etiquette? So when you realize the importance of salah, you realize what a great gift salah. And this is just very briefly what we explained, very, very, not even the top of the iceberg. But from this we can get an idea what salah is all about. It's not just an ordinary gift that Allah gave it to His royal servant. And that is the vicegerence of Allah, which means that Allah has taught us that if you come to salah and you build your connection with me and you teach when you now go out of the masjid how you will love your life, there'll be only peace and success in your life. And everybody who sees you and follow your life, there will only be success in there. And this is for every human being. But sadly, Allah Ta'ala says, خَلَقَكُمْ فَمِنْكُمْ كَافِرُ وَمِنْكُمْ مُؤْمِنُ. We created them. We made them our vicegerent. But many of them don't understand. And they don't even believe in Allah. They don't even appreciate as being human beings. And such people, Allah Ta'ala says, outwardly, there are many human beings walking, looking like human beings in the street. But in reality, they are not human beings. Allah Himself says, لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ أَعْيُنٌ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ أَذَانٌ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ. You'll see many of them. We gave them brains. We gave them hearts. And as our Shaykh explained, many times Allah says, لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا. We gave them hearts, but they can't think with their hearts. Today, scientists have come to realize in our hearts there's also brains. And the heart is the king of the body. And the king, the place for the royal king, the palace of the king is the heart. So Allah gave us this heart, that Allah says in a hadith Qudsi, the skies are too small, I can't fit in the skies. The earth is too small, I can't fit in the earth. If there's a place I can fit, is the heart of a believer. But if that heart is a heart, if the heart got everything else, all the dirt and filth, where is any ordinary person going to come in the heart? When you go home, you are busy in the garden or something, or you are busy with your mechanic or whatever, and your clothes are soiled, your shoes are full of sand, etc., mud. The wife also tell you, don't come into my house like that. Just go and take out your shoes outside, wash yourself first. In your own home, you won't go dirty. So we expect Allah to come in a heart that is dirty. It's impossible. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this great, great, great opportunity that not only Allahu Akbar, once in a lifetime you get an appointment. Not once a day, five times a day, a royal invitation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to come take every form of success from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is only by Allah. وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا عِنْدَنَا خَزَائِنُ. All the treasures what you are looking for, deen, dunya, akhirat. And when, as we learn in the company of our beloved Shaykh, Arif Billah, those who have recognized the lovers of Allah, when they give us an iota, what is Allahu Akbar, the royal court of Allah, then a person, your mouth will be watering for salah. And that is what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Those people whose hearts are attached to the masjid, that they will get the shade of the arsh of Allah Ta'ala. So we have to realize who we are. Otherwise it shouldn't be that we think we are human beings. One day Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah alayhi, 12 o'clock in the afternoon, a great wali of Allah Ta'ala, walking with a lantern in the bazaar. So people ask Junaid, what's wrong? We'll think his screws are loose, something wrong with him. That what's wrong? The sun is so bright and you walking with a lantern in the bazaar. He says, I'm looking for a human being. He says, who are all these people? Say, they are not human beings. They look like human beings. But as Allah Ta'ala says, we don't think properly. We can't understand. My benefit is in namaz. I'm too busy in the bazaar. I'm too busy work in my sport. I'm busy in some other leisure, etc. And I don't realize the importance of my salah. And this is when I got a special appointment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here I'm reminded by the muazzin that Allah is calling you. And Allah is thinking of you. And Allah is reminding you. And who? The kings of kings. Allah is Rabbul Alameen. Allah is the creator of all the universes. But when you come to Allah, you got a special one-to-one appointment with Allah ta'ala. And each person, Allah Ta'ala's direct focus and attention to us is immediately when we come in the court of Allah. So one is the importance of namaz. We should read the fazail or amal, etc. and read it in our homes so that this importance can be built again in our heart. And then the great gift what namaz is all about. It's a royal gift sent by the kings of kings. And through who? Through his most beloved. The most honorable, the most greatest personality, none other than our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has brought that gift and presented it to us on a golden tray. What is myself? We should think that I feel like putting my head in the ground out of shame that I didn't appreciate this gift of Allah Ta'ala. And normally any person, a father, he buys his youngster a car and buys him a new car. Now this youngster doesn't appreciate, he drives the car recklessly, then he uses the car like a fowl run, load fowls in there, load some animals in there. Father say, why you put, say you gave me this car, Then you say you don't appreciate, and I'll take it away. I won't. How much are we appreciating our namaz, our iman? Allah Ta'ala didn't block us here. Allah Ta'ala and Allah called us for a royal invitation. Not that when we come to the masjid, we have to pay a fee and we have to pay admission fees. Or we have to beg somebody, some guard by the masjid, that please allow me to go in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody, even the person who could think he built the masjid, nobody is allowed in the masjid to even book your place before time. This is not like the churches and the synagogues. The rich people there, the so-called lanis, they pay to get their places booked. And that is where they don't even realize who Allah ta'ala is. Allah says, ma kana salatum illa muka'a wa tasdiya. Their salah is like singing and dancing and clapping hands. That is not salah. Come and understand what is salah, which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't just give, he practically showed it to the ummah. And this is now coming down till today. And this is what we just learned, a brief idea of what is salah is all about. Then inshallah at the end of Ramadan, a practical demonstration will also be given. And that one is not enough. Every time I must see 30, 40 years, 60 years I'm performing salah, do I know how to still stand in the court of Allah also? I don't forget standing in the court. After you realize the importance of namaz, how valuable, how great this namaz is, now you have to go with proper etiquette, for proper adab. You have to know what is the adab. You get the royal invitation, you say there's an invitation from the government. You're going to parliament. Immediately you worried, hey, what is the dress code? How must I dress? How must I go? And you're telling your wife, take out that best suit for me, etc. And now you want to go in a smart car. And then you want to go there. When they come also, they tell you park in this place. So sit in that place. All formalities. Yeah, Allah Ta'ala made it that before you come, you should learn the etiquette. You're not going to what is parliament? What is the parliament of the world also cannot compare to the smallest house of Allah Ta'ala on the face of the earth. The houses of Allah is when you enter the house, Allahumma aftahli abwaba rahmati. Oh Allah, send down your torrents of mercy upon me. And the mercy is descending in torrents on Kaabatullah, then on Medina Sharif, then on Bayt al-Maqaddas, then every masjid in the world, the most beloved places in the eyes of Allah and by Allah is the masajid. And we think, no, I'm going to the cabinet, I'm going to Pal. What are those places? Those are places where filth and dirt takes place. So when we don't come to the court of Allah, then like Allah says, you got brains but you don't have brains. And like our Shaykh says, that many a times you call somebody, you say the person to work for you, his name is Lucky. You say, Lucky, I got Lucky to work for me. But when you tell Lucky, dig a hole here for me, but be careful, there's a cable here running. Just be careful, don't dig on the, just dig a just little away. And before you turn your face, you see Lucky, bah, he hit that cable finished. Then you say, hey, these people don't have brains. And then after a while, when he has to steal something from your house, and he's even stealing a fridge, you say, hey, this, what brains these people got? So they, like us, we come to the masjid with no etiquette. So what brains have we got? When it as a pious servant said so beautifully, dunya mein teri akal kya kya kar gayi. When it came to matters of dunya, you know this trick, you know that trick, you know how to do this deal, you know how to get, and you say, I got this contact, that contact. Deen mein teri akal kahan mar gayi. When it comes to the matters of deen, where my mind is lost. That I don't realize how important is salah. Anything can happen in my life, but I can't miss my salah. I can be bedridden, then also I can't miss my salah. So the importance of salah, then the adab, the etiquette, how to be going to the masjid. From the time you leave your home, when you're making your istinja already, then see that I'm making my istinja properly. Today is not that our Shaykh teaches us, and water, and this is the man of Allah, we can't make enough shukr. The things they bring to our attention, we'll think it's trivial, but it's so important. Like you say, we make istinja. Nowadays with the shower hose in the toilet, you just pray and you think I washed myself. No, you have to rub yourself with your left hand, rub your private parts and clean yourself properly. If your istinja is not made, where is your wuzu going to be made? So istinja is so properly. So make your istinja properly. Then make your wudu properly. All the adabs, the etiquettes of wudu, which have to be learned. And from this we understand how important is our maktab system. That where in maktab we were taught how to make wudu, we were taught how to make istinja, we were taught what is faraz, what is wajib, what is sunnat, what is mustahab, all these things in. And when the original maktab system, the sample ulama who used to come from India, and in Gujarati also they used to teach, but people who went to those classes, till today the importance of deen is in their heart. They know till today that if photos was a haram, how can it be halal all the time? They know all those things. But today, shaitan is making an effort from years. Shaitan doesn't work a 10-year plan or a 20-year plan. Shaitan works 100 years and 200 years plan. Our Shaykh explained once there was a business meeting in a certain place, and all top businessmen, some of the Muslim businessmen were also there. So one of the rich businessmen was with Hazrat in Jamaat once. He says when we were in that meeting and they were discussing one thing, then one Jewish fellow sitting next to me, he said, this is not in our 100-year plan, this is in our 200-year plan. So what was in their plan? What is in their plan they doing and we sleeping. Their plan is put our children in school so that you lose the importance of madrasa. And in the school they indoctrinate you that the success is in dunya, to have a flashy car, to have a flashy house, to have all this entertainment, sports, enjoyment. And then they'll put in your heart, and this is how Hazrat explained the Russian revolution took place also. That they told the people, your ulama tell you that no, you can't have dunya, this is going to take you backward in life. And they don't want you to enjoy life, whereas enjoyment of life is in death. So they put in your head all the filth and dirt, and then they say, how are you going to get it? They'll even offer you loans, and what loans? Haram interest loans. And then they'll put the hatred of the ulama in your heart, that these ulama are blocking you. They want you to open madrasa, and you have to fund the madrasa, and you have to even pay them, because we don't know the importance. And what happened? The Muslim youth killed the ulama. And today, and where was their plan? Indoctrination, that the importance of deen itali must go out of our house. And from where? First it was just schooling. And we thought, no, it's a dunya education. Where is their plan reached now? Secular education. And what is secular? There's no Allah in our life. There's no God. I'm my own boss. I do my things on my own. And today where they have landed, this one world order and one world religion, this interfaith thing, all that we all one religion. All Muslims must tolerate every religion. A Muslim keeping fast must have iftar with a priest, must have iftar with a rabbi. What do they even know about fasting? So that we have reached that level. And now you have reached the level of filth and dirt, LGBTQ. So where? And so the importance of the makatib, and we don't realize all this. So we have to, and thus you'll only come to realize from the man of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas we come to realize that this gift Allah has given us to, Allah says, you are my royal slave. So come in, and you made an agreement when I created you. Allah says, وَإِذْ أَخَذَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمَ مِنْ ذُهُورِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ وَأَشْهَدَهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ. Allah first created all the souls that are going to come into the world. And Allah presented Himself just one billionth of a second to see the beauty of Allah. You'll fall in a trance. And Allah asked us, أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ. Am I not your Rabb? All of us, whether we remember or we don't, Allah said, we said, Bala. And according to narrations, the first voice that came out was none other than the greatest beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah Ta'ala said, we all said, Bala. So then Allah says, I'm making you witness. Because Allah knew Allah is going to send us in the dunya. There was no shop. There was no kitchen that a woman have to go and cook chicken. There was no shop that you have to go and do a job. There was no school. So Allah says, don't forget this promise of yours. So in order to remember this promise, Allah calls us 5 times a day. You, my royal servant, come and reiterate and come and reaffirm your promise. And not only that, strengthen your iman. So you don't get lost and you don't get caught up by the traps of shaitan. And iman is so valuable, so important, so necessary that Allah called us 5 times a day. And this is as Hazrat says, only if we realize the value of iman. Today, unfortunately, we didn't realize the value of Iman to such an extent that even good, that time already, Hazrat says, good people, even ulama used to say, yeah, Dini Talim is necessary, but Dunya Talim, without that we can't love. What a sad condition. And where it landed, that now our children are in schools and universities, and we don't even know their Iman is gone. And we think not, and Murad, Iftidad is the order of the day. And not only where they have landed up now, they have chosen ulama that will play their tune, and they will, the ulama will encourage. Very, very important. We're living in a technological world. All technology, everything put together. Allah says, Antumul Fuqara ilallah. You all are registered beggars in the court. You can form the United Nations. You can put all your resources together. But you are the beggars of Allah Ta'ala. Tell you don't bow down in the court of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. You can do what you want to. Outwardly you think you're progressing. But in reality you'll see what is. You are just failing all the time. But the sad condition, Allah has granted us Iman. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah grants wealth to everybody, all and sundry. Allah, those who Allah love, those who don't, Allah doesn't love. Allah gave Karun, Haman, Fir'aun, gave them lot of wealth. Allah gave Usman radiallahu also lot of wealth. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf. So wealth is not the criteria of success. Allah says we distribute good character also, to all also. And whoever won, so we should be begging Allah grant us good character. But many a times we get overtaken, these kuffar got good character, and they are very kind, and they are very loyal. So how can we say they're going Jahannam? Aliyazu billah. When you don't have one Allah in your heart, you got zero in your heart. So you can have the best character, you can try and pray, you can try and do what, it's all zero, zero, zero. But when you got Iman in your heart, you got Allah in your heart. Now when you add a good deed, for example, we add namaz. Our namaz is useless, is weak. But one and you put a zero, you got 10. You keep fasting, even our fast is weak. After all this, we make tawbah, we make istighfar. We have hope in the mercy, but we know it's weak. But you added another zero, it's gone to 100. And like that, you do another ibadat, it's gone to 1,000. But if you don't have Allah in your heart, you just zero. And not just zero, you are getting worse because you're thinking, I'm doing all this. And we can't do a thing. We can't lift our finger without the permission of Allah, without the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anyway, we have to realize it's important that we come with a proper adab, proper etiquette, and then you come, Allahu Akbar, put our shoes in a proper place and put our cars in the right place. Don't just come haphazard. So, we see the Ummah today, unfortunately, we'll come, shoe racks, everything is provided, but people will just kick their shoes around. We come last, we pass behind anybody, and we're reading namaz like big Sufis in the masjid. After people got other appointments, you came late, and you're reading long namaz. You park in the wrong place, first of all. So, all this important etiquette, you come into the house of Allah, then how to dress in the court of Allah. Not what you think I'm smart, what Allah wants us to be smart. And the way of life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And today, very easy, look at our real pious servants, how they are dressed, dress according to them. And that is why Allah made the system to find Allah. Allah sent Kitabullah. Our constitution is the Qur'an-i Kareem, which teaches us Iman. But without, on our own, we won't understand. And sadly today, people want to understand Quran Sharif on their own. Just go on to Mufti Google and think I'll understand this masala. You need Rijalullah, the man of Allah. Allah sent Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to practically show us how to love Qur'an-i Kareem. And our constitution is Qur'an-i Kareem, but not according to our understanding, according to what was taught to us by Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that deen, that Islam that was shown to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is the way we have to follow. We can't change the Qur'an-i Kareem. We can't say we're living in a modern time and Qur'an Sharif, aliyazu billah, needs some modern upliftment, etc. That is totally the hogwash, and this is all the indoctrination that they're putting in our minds. So Allah Ta'ala make us realize, when you get connected to the man of Allah, and Allah made it, when Sahaba were lost and they came in the company of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what they became? Rijal. So they are men. So follow the man of Allah Ta'ala. So to who our heart takes, connect to a love of Allah. like our great Shaykh, if your heart takes this manual, guide me to Allah, take bad to such a person. He will guide us and we will get, then we won't go astray. So then very important, now when you come right in the court of Allah, you in the masjid, see that you come properly into the masjid. What are the adabs? How to enter the masjid? What du'as to be read? And then how to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Humbleness is not what we think. Nabi, sometimes we think humbleness is to bow down our head. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us that is not humbleness. Stand up straight, keep your eyes where your sajda play, where you're going to make sajda, keep your eyes focused there. If you learn to focus your eyes in namaz, out of namaz you'll focus your eyes. You won't be looking around everywhere, looking at this one's car, looking at this one's wife, and don't even look at your own wife. So if you focus yourself in namaz, and you learn, and that is what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, even when you go in sajda, look at the tip of your nose. Although it's difficult to see it, but don't close your eyes. And sometimes you think I'm closing my eyes for concentration. More important is the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You do everything according to sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that will build and enhance your concentration also. And that is the only way to follow. So many people, our Shaykh explained, reported good with people, people that involved in Jamaat, in close contact with elders. One elderly person, once he heard us bayan, in our Shaykh was giving a nikah bayan and explaining where to focus our eyes in namaz. After 2 months, he phoned our Shaykh, said, Hazrat, you did me a great favor. He said, what? He says, when I heard that one point in the bayan, where to focus my eyes, I had a problem in my life. I had one wife, but my eyes were just not, it was flirting. Although he was in Jamaat work, he used to be with the elders. He says, I thought, let me make a second nikah that I come out of this problem. I made a second nikah, it didn't help. So it's not that what we think where the solution is. The man of Allah will show us. So then he says, when I practice on this point, controlling my gaze in namaz, today alhamdulillah, my eyes are under control. And your heart will be under control. And then see, to distract yourself from dunya will be very, very easy. So then Allah Ta'ala teaches us, now when you realize you came in the royal court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you're standing right with adab, and our origin of the body is from sand, and the origin of the earth where Kaaba Sharif is, the whole world was full of water. Allah made one bubble come out where exactly where Kaaba Sharif is, and from there sand Allah made land, and all that time there was no technology or anything. Today's time, recent time, scientists with all their geographical equipment and whatever they got, they measured where's the center of the earth, and 100% they came with all their measurements, the center of the earth is where Kaaba Sharif is. And everything likes to be connected to its origin. So our body is made from sand. Kaaba Sharif is where the sand started. So our body has to be faced to Kaaba Sharif. And Allah made our composition of two parts. Not just the body alone, the body is just the outward like a vehicle. Our reality is our ruh. So when you come in the masjid, face our feet, as Hazrat says, in line, four fingers, for the Hanafis especially, and for everybody in any case, your feet have to be facing Kaaba Sharif. Your body has to be facing Kaaba Sharif. Then all that noor of Kaaba, the blessings of Kaaba will come to you. And your heart came from Allah Ta'ala. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ. The ruh came from Allah, so your heart has to be focused to the arsh of Allah, and to have to be focused to Allah. And how to get focused to Allah, that is why it is necessary, before to even understand what namaz is, to make a cause of the zikr of Allah. And that you can only do in the company of the righteous and pious. That is why we need a shaykh, to learn the marifat of Allah, the greatness of Allah, and how to take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that does not mean that now a person thinks, I didn't do that course, I can't read namaz. No, if you didn't do your course, you still have to make your namaz. Although your namaz, the faraz will be off your head, but the reality of namaz, we won't know what it is. So Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. Allah brought us here, let us realize. And then humbleness in the court of Allah is very simple. Just to know what is faraz, what is sunnat, what is wajib, what is mustahab. And concentrate just for a moment, I'm standing in the court of Allah. When you come and you stand humbly, just for a second before you make your Allahu Akbar, that Allah, you have called me. You gave me this royal invitation. I'm not worthy, I appreciate it. And then you just think, I'm standing now in the court of Allah. And when you raise your hands, you say, Ya Allah, this is your most useless servant, I surrender to you now. And I throw both the worlds behind me, and that is how you keep your niyat only for the pleasure of Allah, and now you are totally in the company of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah give us tawfiq and understanding, inshallah, we carry on. Subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanakallah, bihamdi. Inshallah.